Good morning.
Good morning.
And good morning to you who are at home with us. We've got the camera set up at a little bit different angle, so I apologize in advance if my back is to you. Thank you for being here this morning. It is an honor to welcome one of the members of our Synod staff, Deacon Diane Johnson. She is one of the directors for Evangelical Mission, and she is here to talk with us about what the Synod is, our relationship to it, and all of those good things. Diane.
Good morning. You might want to turn so that we're going to have more of a conversation than me doing a presentation. So that's why I wanted the camera this way. We will have one video. The camera, I guess the light on the projector has a short lifespan left. So we're saving that for when we show the video. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Good and gracious God, we thank you that we can be gathered together today. We thank you for this glorious sunshine outside. We thank you for all the work that is going on throughout our synod, for the new life in congregations, for the learning to move forward in new ways after we've had a couple of bumpy years. And we thank you that you are with us every step of the way. We know your Holy Spirit is leading and guiding us, and we look forward to seeing what is new in the coming years. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I will be a hostess and say, I have two questions for you. So the first one is, when you hear Northwest Washington Synod, what do you think of? Okay, those are some great descriptions. Okay, the second question is more specific, and somebody already connected the dots to it right away. What do you think of when you think of the office of the Northwest Washington Synod? So the one thing was the paperwork. Oh, Finney Ridge Lutheran Church. Actually, we're in St. John Lutheran Church, down the street. Finney Ridge is just a couple miles away. Anyone else have what you think of when you think of the office of the Northwest Washington Synod?
When I have a strange question about Lutheranism to church, I call the office and talk to Susan usually.
Yeah, you guys know Susan, don't you? Anyone else have anything they want to offer there? Part of the reason I'm asking is I don't want to bore you by telling you a bunch of stuff you already know. So for the first thing, I want to show a video that we created for Synod Assembly this year, and because that will be part of what I'm talking about later.
Been asked to describe our synod to others, I often say it's from SeaTac to the Canadian border, from the West Cascades to the islands in Puget Sound, and we have about 110 congregations. It's sort of like these big trees that are above me. They all were at one time alike. A building, a pastor, staff, programs. There was a time when you could go from one church to the other and have exactly the same liturgy. But that's not our world today. Foresters have known for a long time that a healthy ecology is a mixed ecology. And I would like to share with you how our synod is a mixed ecology.
Thank you, God, for churches providing food and shelter and water for those in need. In the mixed ecology of the forest, the needs of the trees and the animals, the plants and the fungus are provided collaboratively and collectively. We're grateful for churches that are part of this collaboration effort. The churches that are participating in community gardens, including the ones that have been taken over by the community, like at Advent Lutheran. We're grateful for churches like Faith in Everett, who have opened up their property to ministries of feeding and housing that they never could have done on their own. And for churches like Faith in North Lakewood in Marysville that have partnered with nonprofits to create a new community resource center with grant money that they weren't eligible for and are now wondering about how do they give their building away to the community even more and worship in a space that they might own. We're also thankful for congregations in pastoral transition that are using this time to wonder about how God might be calling them to new relationships with new partners in their community so that they can do the ministries that they've been doing in new ways that maybe they can't do on their own anymore. But we're grateful for all the ways that you're connecting us with each other and beyond to serve your mission in the community.
In the mystery of God's wisdom, we know that life springs forth out of death. In our church language and faith, we understand this as the resurrection. In our lived experience, we know it as hope springing forth where there was no hope. In nature, we know it as the cycle of life, the way things to be. Here I am sitting on a nurse log, a tree that lived and gave life, so that other creatures could live and survive, other plants could sprout up and grow and have life. And so it is that we celebrate that even in the midst of death, there is life. And because of death, there is new life. It happens in our church as well. And so we celebrate those churches that have given of their life, that lived good, strong lives and continue to give life in places like Roots of the Table, Grace Chinese, Salt House, Columbia City Church of Hope, and Emmaus Table. And so we celebrate the fact that we have a God who continues to spring forth and give new life, even, especially, and always in the midst of death.
Thank you, Goddess, for these safe and sacred spaces. Together, lay and clergy alike, a call to create these safe and sacred spaces. Spaces woven and bound together. Like neighbors in faith who are intentionally fostering relationships with Jewish and Muslim siblings. And with Lutherans out of the box partnership, as well as the multi-denominational church of the North Cascades Wild Church, Chief Seattle said, "Humankind has not woven the web of life. We are but one thread within it. Whatever we do to the web, we do to ourselves. All things are bound together. All things connect." In safe, sacred spaces, we connect.
How do we recognize the spaces that we love as places for us to encounter our own spirituality and perhaps God and the divine? At Echoes, I am fortunate to serve a community that was founded intentionally inclusive. We gathered together at Bellingham's Pride in 2013 with the idea that we can meet God right in our very own communities. So whether we're meeting in a brewery, we're meeting in the woods or around an art table to create something together, we know that God will meet us there in those spaces. Because what would it look like if we expanded and opened God's invitations even wider than they already are? Because God and the Holy Spirit have sprinkled seeds everywhere.
God, we thank you for churches. Isn't it strange that we thought they all had to be alike? And they don't. And we know they aren't. Size, young, old, just like these trees, right? The big ones, the new ones, the short ones, some down here that may not make it very big, different kinds. That's what churches are like. We need them. We need those churches, and they are a part of our mixed ecology, and they help the health of our synod to be what God calls us to be.
there was the description of the synod. So you know the geographical location of our synod is from about SeaTac Airport, Des Moines, Kent, all the way up to the Canadian border. We go up into the Cascade Mountains. Our furthest east site is at Concrete and Marblemont. We have a congregation and a synodically authorized worshiping community out in that area. And then somehow we picked up all the islands in Puget Sound. So we have Vashon Island, even though it should really be in southwestern Washington, geographically, Bainbridge Island, the San Juan Islands. We had six people on this video to all tell a different piece of the story about the mixed ecology, that we have brand new mission starts. We have long-standing congregations. We have big congregations. We have small congregations. We have ministries that outreach into the community for homeless and for shelter and feeding and care. We have a wide variety of ways of being church. It's not just the churches that have a building and a pastor and programs. And that within it, in the past, there was kind of this sense of, are we measuring up? Are we the biggest or are we the best or that sort of thing? But it's not about biggest and best. In the forest, you do have some really tall trees, but you have to have all of those little trees and those bushes and shrubs and plants. And so some of our work is around some of those plants and shrubs and seedling trees. And that's just as important as the big, tall sequoia standing out there. So although it was much more nicely done out in the forest with the people telling their parts of the story. So our synod is a collection of congregations and synodically authorized worshiping communities, which you might know as Mission Starts or New Start Ministries. It's also all these other facets of who we are. And our synod office is a staff of seven people who help congregations walk alongside with congregations as they go through transitions, as they're wondering about their futures, as they explore new ideas, help start new congregations. There's all kinds of things like that. So I'm going to skip trying to show the website. That's okay. Let's skip it. So I wanted to tell you about who our staff people are. So we have Susan Berg, who I think grew up in this congregation. Yeah, so she's a rock star. You know that already. So Susan Berg is our communications and event planning person in the synod. So she sends out a weekly update that anybody in the synod can sign up to receive. You just let her know your email and you want to be on that list, and you can see what events are happening, what announcements are coming out. There's all kinds of events within congregations. They can send in the information. It can be a part of that too. It's a great way to learn what's going on all around our synod. Because we have a very diverse synod. We have a lot of rural areas. We have urban areas. We have tons of suburban areas. So there's a wide variety of what's happening. So, and she also helps with planning synod assembly. She assists whoever is the chair of that and pulling all of that together. And since I was the chair 1 year, I can tell you that's a whale of a lot of work. So it's great to have a synod staff person to help navigate all of those pieces. And she also helps with other events. We have an office administrator who was Tracy Hall, and she had been with us for 3 years, and she is now working for the churchwide organization. They took her from us. So she has moved to Las Vegas, and we are currently interviewing to replace her position. She was dealing with all things paperwork that we had mentioned earlier. So when pastors transfer in and out of the synod, there's paperwork that happens with that. When somebody is called or ordained, there's paperwork that goes back and forth with the ELCA and the congregation and the pastor. or deacon. She works with all the billing, all the financial pieces that come through the office. We have a financial services organization that actually does the bookkeeping and check writing, but there's lots of things that come through our system. So hopefully that position will be filled again soon, because that's a big hole to have right now. And so those are our two administrative type positions. We have the bishop, Shelley Brian Wee. Have you all seen her or met her or know who she is? Yeah. So she's the one who oversees all of it. The bishop also connects a lot with the region. So Region 1 is Northwest Washington Synod, Southwestern Washington Synod, Eastern Washington, oh nope, they changed their name, Intermountain, Northwest Intermountain Synod, which is Eastern Washington, Idaho, a little bit of Oregon, and a little bit of Wyoming. So that's just a smidge, like around Yellowstone, that area. And then the Oregon Synod and the Alaska Synod, we're Region 1. So the bishop interfaces with those bishops in planning and thinking about things. She interfaces with the Conference of Bishops, where they go back two times a year at least for conversations for all the bishops of the ELCA, and is also involved like with seminaries, going down and supporting the one down in California, Pacific Lutheran Theological Seminary. So she does a fair amount of travel. Once again, for 2 years, she was staying put, but now she's back on the road with her job a lot, her position, her call. And Andy Yee, assistant to the bishop, have any of you had a chance to meet with him? His work is primarily with transitions, so call processes for congregations when their pastor retires or takes another call, and also with candidacy, raising up new leaders, deacons and pastors. Those are his two big areas. He has lots of other things. And David Hahn, have any of you met David Hahn? A few, yeah. So he was working with Living Local for a long time, which was helping congregations think about new ways of connecting to their neighborhoods to be renewed and to grow. And now he is over the director for formation and learning for the LIV project, Living Into Vocational Engagement. And that's a lay, boy, he can talk about it way better than I can. It's like a lay school of theology, but it's more conversational. It's more engagement of people around scripture, around thinking of how God is calling them to be in the world. So they've had 1 year of having classes and having people join in cohorts online and then also in person for retreats. And they'll begin that again soon. So it'll be interesting to see what new things they will talk about this year. And then there's Herb and myself. We're both directors for Evangelical Mission. We are actually church-wide employees from Chicago, ELCA. The church-wide organization pays for one director of Evangelical Mission in every synod. Last year we requested some help because I was drowning. We just had too many New Start congregations for one person to be able to work with all of them adequately and support them. So they gave us funding for another half-time position. So Herb came on, but we decided to split it. So we're both three-quarter time position rather than one person full-time and one person half-time. My area is Shoreline North for all the Mission Start congregations. His is to the south. He works with our Asian ministries, and especially that we have a number of Chinese congregations, so he works with them as well as the New Starts. He also works with building a legacy team of pastors and lay people who can support congregations who are questioning what's next in their future and what their direction might be. And if they're closing, they also can help assist through all those closing processes, because we don't have the time available to be there that it takes to do that well. So we are training a whole team of people who can be available to congregations to make sure that they're cared for in that work. I am, besides working with the New Starts, I work with stewardship and mission support, and also the work around a new way to have New Starts, which is to have lay people in congregations who have relationships with people outside start something new. We're calling them organic faith communities. They're not a church, but they are a place of spiritual connection. So examples from the UK and from Florida are that maybe people, well, so I'm leading one of these. So I am leading a wild church. The reason I'm leading a wild church is I knew several people who were not engaged in a congregation, but desperately wanted to be part of a faith community. They just couldn't find a congregation that fit them. Not all Lutheran, different denominations too. And when I talked about a wild church in another part of our synod, they lit up and they said, if you ever do that, I will come. So that's an authentic, organic thing that began because there were people who expressed that desire and wanted to be in a faith community. They just didn't want all the structure of a traditional congregation. So that's one of those types of things. They could also be dinner churches. They can be house churches. They can be in the other. In Florida, they have a dog park church where a gentleman goes, and I'll tell you, at a dog park, people will tell you anything. And he found people there that expressed a desire to have a faith community. So they all go, their dogs play for a while, and then they gather in a part of the dog park, and they have a faith conversation and a prayer and a blessing each week. And another church in Florida, there were two women who noticed in their retirement community that there were a number of men that when their wives had died, the men didn't know how to cook. So they were like, oh, we should have some cooking classes for these guys, you know, to help them out. So they started having cooking classes. And what they found is the men were just so excited to be together with the other men who were in the same situation. So they started talking about their grief and their loss and how to move forward. And some of them, it was too painful to go back to church yet because they associated being in church with their wife. And so they said, well, would you like to stay? We could add on time afterwards, and then we could have a Bible study and prayer if you would like to do that. And so they started doing that. And most of the men started staying for that and found another faith community. So there's all kinds of people for all kinds of reasons who aren't coming through our doors right now, but would really like to be with other people, to grow in their faith, to be able to have conversations about their faith. And what we're hoping is to inspire other lay people to think of where do they already know people that might be, and then to help them walk alongside them to get that up and running. So I'm really excited. Your congregation is hosting our first event to get this idea out into the synod on September 24th. And we will have a day where people can experience Wild Church right in those woods over there. And they can experience dinner church at lunchtime. They can experience creative church if they want. You can go visit any of these types of things as an idea of what could be. It's not to copy any of them, but it's ideas of what could be. And so people can begin to imagine where it is that God might be calling them to share their faith with other people they already know who have a desire to grow in faith, but don't know where to go, that they feel safe or that they feel comfortable. So I'm really excited about that work coming up. So that's the broad brush. What we really hope is that over the years, the congregations, the ministries of all kinds might start to really connect together with one another. That there aren't solo congregations, there aren't solo mission starts, there aren't solo anything. Because how many people did Jesus send out when he sent them out? Two by two, right? Yep. It's never meant to be alone. We are not meant to be alone. Where two or more are gathered in my name, there am I in their midst, right? So I hear that your cluster is doing some good work. Yeah, having lay people gather together, have conversation. That's the kind of thing we hope will happen all throughout our synod. People will begin to say, we're in a really odd time right now. Church was difficult in 2019. Church is really difficult in 2022. We can't go back to what we were, but we don't know what to go forward to. Because there's obstacles. There's all kinds of obstacles. People have changed. Systems have changed. Doors have opened. So how do we lean in together into what's next? So I think what the Synod office brings is not the answers. If you want answers and programs, sorry. Those days are gone. If you want to ask questions and have conversation, that's what we're excited about. Because we trust that God's Spirit is at work in each and every one of our congregations and ministries. And that you all know your particular area in ways that we don't know. You know the people that you connect to. You know the neighborhood that's around you. And God will take that and do something new. And as you try to figure that out, we're here to walk alongside you, to encourage you, to help you dream, to wonder with you, and see what new thing is going to happen. And then the best part is if we're all in relationship with one another, we get to share those stories across congregations, across ministries, so that other people can be inspired and wonder what God is calling them to do. So that's our hope as the Synod staff, is to walk with you, to listen, to learn with you, to wonder with you, and to be excited to see what new doors God is opening right now before us. So, sorry for talking so long. Questions about Synod or anything along those lines? That's a really great question. Thank you. So our traditional Synod authorized worshiping community, so let's say, example, Bethel Ethiopian Church. They're up in the Shoreline area. They began, I'm guessing, about 12 years ago as a Lutheran ministry. So the ELCA has provided them with a grant every year. The Synod has provided them with a grant every year. I will tell you, those two grants make up a very small portion of their budget, but they aren't quite ready to be totally on their own. They had purchased a building, I don't know about any of your churches, but $6,000 a month mortgage would be pretty rough, right? And that if you're trying to buy property right now, that's what you end up in. So they still are part of our Synod authorized ministries. We do still give them some grants as they try to find their way to move forward. They are growing. They have 150 people. They've almost maxed out their congregation. We might be seeing if there's another congregation that would truly partner with them not just see them as a renter, or who knows what possibilities there are.
How many ethnic groups do we have?
So we have, how many ethnic specific ministries do we have? So we have three Chinese congregations that are full congregations. We have three Chinese synod authorized ministries, Grace Chinese in Sammamish, Grace Chinese in Renton. No, we have two. Oh, and the International Students and Scholars at the University of Washington. That started out primarily with Chinese students and scholars, but now is open to all international students. We have Bethel Ethiopian. We have El Camino de Amos up in Burlington, which is a Spanish-speaking outreach to the community there. It's at Burlington Lutheran Church. Yep. Yep. And that's been in our synod for quite a few years. We had a leadership change in during COVID, which was interesting. We had a second one that was in Everett, Spanish-speaking ministry, but that mission developer and her husband got the opportunity to move to Phoenix for his job, and so she had moved out, and we've been unable to fill that position. We found that people aren't too eager to move at this time. They want to move closer to families, not further away from families. So we've haven't been able to go forward on that. We have one Korean ministry in the Renton, South Seattle, Renton area.
Are most of these connected with another congregation? Do they use the facilities of another?
Yes, most of them use the facilities of another congregation. The Ethiopian congregation is the only one that has moved out to purchase property. The rest of them, I don't think they ever would be able to. The expenses are too high.
At the Ethiopian church, do they do their service in Amharic or in English?
It's in Amharic, yeah. Yes, but that wasn't one of our Lutheran, that was a non-denominational group, I think, that was meeting there. Yes, and lots of congregations host a variety of other ethnic-specific groups, but often there are other denominations. The rest of our New Start ministries are trying something new and different. Echoes in Bellingham was the one that started with having Wild Church, Creative Church, storytelling, and an inside church. They would do those four things 1 week a month. And then on the fifth Sunday, if they had it, they would go do a service project in the community as church. And that kind of started this idea moving forward of, people could do these, they could do a Wild Church somewhere else. They could do a Creative Church somewhere else. Creative Church is where you gather around the word and people are expressing their thoughts and wondering about it through their expression of art during that hour, art or creative writing. So, yeah. So the Ethiopian church is thriving again. Most of the pandemic was extremely difficult for all of those communities. Because they were smaller to begin with, or the Ethiopian group, most of their members are in the hospitality business. So their members were just having very difficult times financially throughout all of that. So they've bounced back. They now have almost everybody back in worship again. They were very hesitant. A lot of the Asian churches were very hesitant to come back in person for a long time. And part of that is the history of other epidemics within Asia that had been very difficult, like SARS, trying to make sure that everything was really safe before they gathered together again. oh, what are the sizes of these groups? Thank you for reminding me about that. So most of them are on the smaller side. Some of them have been bigger in the past, but haven't recovered yet in COVID. I'm trying to think. Grace Chinese in Renton combines with the pastor is Mike Wong. His wife, Rowena Wong, is in southwestern Washington with a church in Federal Way. They combine. And when I had been with them before COVID at Christmas, they had over 100 people in worship together. So it can go from 150 to 100 to 20 to 30. When they're starting, they can be very small, 4 or 5 to start with. And part of the problem is it's expensive. It's expensive to call a pastor. It's expensive to find a place to be. If you have to pay any kind of rent, all those costs are very, very high. And you're working with communities that might not have high incomes. Immigrant communities, first generation, can be really difficult to find people who have jobs that can sustain that sort of work. Even the new starts like Echoes, people don't want to pay money into a building and a pastor and programs. They're more intentional about wanting to serve and give to outside communities, to programs that are already in place. So part of the idea of switching to these authentic or these organic faith communities is those can be run at no cost. Renton Wild Church, I've invested a whole $40 into that. And that's a year old at this point. I volunteer my time. The cost was picking up a book or two and making a sign. Because if you're at a park, you need a sign or nobody knows who you are, right? A lot of these expressions, like I talk about the women who were inviting the men to stay after, no cost, dog park church, no cost. So it gets church out of a very expensive model into freeing up and letting it be whatever size it's going to be. And letting the ministry last as long as it makes sense for it to last. If there's people gathering who are growing in faith, who are worshiping God together, that's great. And when they all get transferred and have to move across the country, you know what's going to happen? Each one of them, when they land, they're going to find another group of people because it was meaningful to them. I went to a conference. And I thought this was interesting. I met a man who has cast member church, cast member for Disney. So his wife worked for Disney and they went down, they were in Florida. So Disney World, and he was from a pretty conservative church background and he wanted to create an attractional church for the cast members who are mostly in their 20s, the employees there at the park. So he started this whiz bang worship and everything. And then he realized you can't out entertain Disney. Didn't work. So he closed that down. And then he thought, well, we'll work with all of the younger people that have moved to Florida that were part of their churches before. So they reached out to them, but all they wanted to do was get together and go to movies or have pizza or just be together, like extended youth group they might have known somewhere else. And when he said, well, we have to invite the other people, that's the whole point of church, is to disciple others and to reach out to others. And they weren't interested. So then he's like, okay, well, there's 100 churches around here. Just go to one of those. So then they started working inside the park to build relationships with other employees. And now they have a cast member church at every Disney location because people who joined it got transferred to other locations. And then they're the ones who have started it. It's conversationally based. It's Disney has given them permission to meet inside one of their restaurants or cafes. They're on site. The employees meet there. They just talk about things. He's like, this pastor is so excited. He goes, I never had people who were so curious about their faith, had questions, and always wanted to be able to ask those questions without anybody saying, that's a stupid question, right? But just to say, that's a great question. Let's figure this out together. And so that's their worship service. And he used to have these really big, elaborate worship services for 25 years. And he said, but this is authentic church. This is people discovering their faith for the first time and knowing that it's safe. And what do they do when that flame is lit? They go invite their friends to come and join. It's automatic. They have that desire that other people would know what they're learning. So I thought that was just fascinating, cast member church. Who would have thought of that? I would have never thought of that. Any last burning question? Nope. Well, thank you for inviting me. I hope that you will continue to remain connected to other churches in your area and to remain connected into the synod as a whole. And as you learn new things here, that you share that with the other congregations around here and with us so that we can share those stories out across the synod as well. Thank you.
Thank you.